This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, it's Bobby Sylvester, co-host of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Before we start today, I want to tell you about one of the sponsors of today's show, PristineAuction.com, and we're doing a signed jersey giveaway again with them this week with the Antonio Brown jersey. So we did a Le'Veon Bell, we did a T.Y. Hilton, now you can get your hands on an Antonio Brown jersey for free. All you have to do, subscribe and review us on iTunes, take a screenshot and send it to us at contest@fantasypros.com, and it actually enters you into all of the sweepstakes we're going to be doing this year. And if you can, please go check out their website. I was looking through today. I mean, every single day they auction off hundreds of items for great prices. I mean, you can go out and get signed jerseys, signed helmets, all kinds of stuff for football. But the coolest thing I saw today, a Muhammad Ali signed boxing glove. It's at $250 right now. That is an absolute bargain. So go ahead and go bid on those right now. Support the sponsor of today's show and make sure to let them know that Fantasy Pros sent you. All right, on to the show. All right, guys and gals, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Welcome back to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. We've got a great show for you today, especially because Tags is not here. I'm just kidding, Tags. I know you're listening just to make sure I don't say anything bad about Amari Cooper. Guys, Tags has a scheduling conflict, so he'll be joining me for the second half of today's show to do a Dynasty mock draft. But first, I'm joined by the one and only Christopher Harris of the Harris Football Podcast. Chris, thanks for coming on the show. How was your offseason?
Good, I think. Did I have one? How are you, Bobby? I did. I had one. It was good, but I was doing shows up until the past couple months. I sort of took off to write this almanac thing, and then now I'm back again doing shows. So the off season feels preciously short.
But I mean, like, you were living in California, so even if you don't have an off season, like, that's real nice.
It was pretty cool. I had a great winter there. I'm now back in the armpit. I'm in Massachusetts, and it's not an armpit because it's gross. It's just the past few days have been, it's like Miami. It's like 100% humidity, raining every afternoon. I was promised good weather, damn it.
So, Chris, I tried really hard to come up with something funny to say at the start, but then I realized, like, I'd just rather squeeze every bit of information out of you while I've got you. Plus, it's going to be plenty fun to hear you take my side on the Brandon Marshall debate we've been having on this podcast with Mike Tagliere, and he's not even going to be able to defend his position, so it's going to be great.
I mean, it's hard for me to talk and not be funny, so I think we're covered either way.
That sounds good, yeah. Before we get into all that, some of our listeners might not know much about you, Chris, and how you're an evil Patriots fan, so why don't you tell them about your feelings on, like, yards per carry, your film study habits, and about your awesome book.
Yeah, my feelings on yards per carry are, don't pay attention to yards per carry, not a sticky statistic. I have a show called the Harris Football Podcast you already mentioned. You can find it and my ranks at harrisfootball.com.
Every day of the week.
Right, not yet. It will be starting as of July 31st. It'll be every day, every weekday for 5 months. Right now, it's two times a week. So as we're recording this in July, it'll be Tuesdays and Fridays. And then the thing that I hinted at earlier is this player profile almanac, which I am currently breaking my head over a rock to create. It's like a 100 and whatever page thing. I think you saw last year's, and it's going to be bigger and better this year. It's a few hundred profiles of film study. So basically, I spend the time and watch them all. You know, I do that during the season. I watch every game. And then in the off season, I refamiliarize myself by watching a few games of each player and kind of recalibrate what I think about them. This year in the almanac, I've actually given film grades to every player. So, you know, for a running back, I'll give a power grade, an elusiveness grade, a receiving grade, and a situation grade. And so it's been a lot of work, but I think it's going to turn out great.
I saw a sample of it and it looks beautiful. I'm excited for it.
And then the sort, you know, I when I was with ESPN, whatever, 8 years, I used to write their print magazine. So the thing that we would all take with us into the draft with, you know, the old print magazine, I used to write that. And so now that I'm on my own, I do the same thing, but it's a PDF. And the cool thing about that is that it'll come out August 1st, so you can pre-order now, harrisopal.com. But twice during August, it will actually be updated. I will send out a fully updated version of the PDF where you will see the changes I made. I will highlight them based on injuries, based on depth chart shenanigans, signings, whatever. Reorder all the rankings, and so hopefully you'll be going into your draft with the most current.
Yeah. And guys, also, he writes outside of football. He has this book, War on Sound. And I like him enough that like I ordered his book and gave it a read, wow, even though I wasn't expecting much. Chris, you're really funny, man. It was a great book. It was really interesting. So if you guys can, check out that book, War on Sound. It was awesome. I really enjoyed it, man.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm a fiction writer too. And that was a big project. Boy, I admire you for reading it. I knew we were best friends. I feel like we've codified it.
So I alluded to it earlier, maybe a little bit more than alluded to it, but Brandon Marshall, Chris, brother, yep, you have him ranked number 22 among wide receivers this season. And I know rankings are like prone to move during the preseason, but you've got him ahead of Edelman, Landry, and Keenan Allen. I love it. Well, not the Keenan Allen part, but I'm digging Marshall this season.
So the Keenan Allen part, I've decided in the course of writing this almanac that I've mentioned I'm writing, that there are two players I'm most basically completely copping out on. It's Keenan Allen and Tyler Eifert, because Who knows, right? I mean, we're just going to look for excuses during training camp to keep raising them. But right now, like, I'm not going to rely on the Zapruder film of Keenan Allen at a mini camp to like say, oh, he's back. Like, we don't know. So we'll put him aside, because I have a feeling he'll probably wind up rising as soon as we can convince ourselves.
I'm really glad you didn't trash him, because when you started talking about him, I was like, no, that's not what I was going for. I want you to take my side on Brandon Marshall, not Tag's side on Keenan Allen.
No. So Keenan Allen will, like, I'm scared of him, but he'll probably start going up. So, okay, Marshall. You know, like, touchdowns. I just don't know how you don't get a lot of touchdowns out of Brandon Marshall in this offense if he's not healthy. It's what he's always done, right? Denver, Miami, Chicago, the Jets. He's apparently a terrible teammate, apparently incredibly annoying, and at some point, everybody in the Giants organization will hate him personally.
Well, he's talking up Odell Beckham so much right now as one of the greatest wide receivers he's ever seen. So maybe Beckham will like him.
Well, they'll be best friends for 1 year, and then something, you know, then Marshall will say a bunch of dumb stuff, because he always does. Like, so Brandon Marshall on film is incredibly annoying because he doesn't concentrate a lot of the time. Legitimately terrible hands. You know, terrible maybe, but he's below average hands wise. He should have better hands. If he concentrated better, he'd have better hands. He's one of those receivers who seems to take plays off when it's not for him, of the Randy Moss variety.
Did he like take the whole year off last year, because his stats were miserable? He was one of the least efficient players I've ever seen.
He was, and yet they still pumped it to him in the red zone. They still tried to get him touchdowns. It didn't work. He might have been banged up at the end of the year, but it was a dumpster fire. Like, you know, who was playing quarterback? It wasn't really a viable situation for anybody to perform well. You know, he's a touchdown maker. You're not going to send him deep anymore. He's slow. He's sort of nearing the end, but that's an offense that actually works for somebody who's sort of a horizontal, you know, he's doing it with size and relative savvy. And in the end zone, he's a ball magnet.
And doesn't he look perfect opposite of Odell Beckham? I mean, they're trying to double and triple team Odell Beckham. You can't do that when Brandon Marshall's on the field, even if he's old.
Yeah, except for I always feel like that's a little bit of a crutch argument because you could say that's good for Odell Beckham, not Brandon Marshall, right? You could say, yeah, no, we have to pay so much. You could turn it around on its ear. As many good players as you want to get into an offense, good. I think that's a good thing. That only makes the offense better. And when an offense is good, all the rising tide lifts all boats. But I think I alluded to it earlier. I think Marshall, you can wind up correcting me in absentia if I'm wrong, had the second most end zone targets in the league last year for the Jets. Like, He is simply a touchdown maker.
And they weren't really in the red zone very often, so that's saying a lot.
Right, yeah. So, like, did I say end zone? I meant red zone, you're right. Like, so, it's going to happen. He didn't play well last year. Even not playing well, he had 800 yards receiving. So, like, how's he not getting 1,000? He's getting 1,000. How's he not getting 8 touchdowns? He's getting 8 touchdowns. I mean, Beckham's better, and Beckham deserves to be the number 1, 2, or 3 receiver off your board. But I don't have to love Eli Manning to love both of them. Remember Alshon Jeffrey and Brandon Marshall in the Jay Cutler days. Like, you could like both those guys and not like the quarterback. Yeah, it strikes me that all he's done in his career is score touchdowns. How can you ignore?
Yeah, I mean, we were talking about Brandon Marshall last year. He made a bet with Antonio Brown that he was going to have a better season. And we were wondering, like, should we take Marshall in the top 20? He was a top 3 wide receiver the year before.
Yeah.
And I understand, like, it was terrible with New York Jets. But I'm not even saying he's going to be a top 15 guy. But if he improves a little bit on last season, like, why can't he be a top 20 wide receiver?
The thing about there's no proof necessary because his entire career when he's been healthy, he's been very good for fantasy, and then he pooped the bed last year. But to think that means now he's a bed pooper forever. Well, I've got 10 years of proof that he's not. And let's not paint him as 36 years old. He's 33, 32 or 33. And it's not, I just think it's a buying opportunity. That's what it is that he's a good player. He's a buying opportunity.
It just scares me that he might be Andre Johnson, because Andre Johnson was the same. He was amazing. And then he was absolutely nothing all of a sudden. So I'm not sure what's going to happen there.
Different game. Andre Johnson had a speed game. And once the speed was gone, I feel like that's one where I nailed it. The moment Andre Johnson wasn't good on film was the moment I said stop investing him in fantasy the last year in Houston and the year with Indianapolis. And Brandon Marshall's not a speed player anymore, if he ever was. He's slow. I mean, he's had really, really good years being one of the slowest receivers in the league. So I don't worry so much about that.
It's something really interesting to me, and I'm tempted to agree, but a little more hesitant about this one. You have Jordy Nelson ahead of Mike Evans. I haven't seen that. Dez Bryant over AJ Green. Now, that's not where they're being drafted. Is this a touchdown thing, too? Like, they're not going to have any touchdown regression because they're always in the red zone? How would you sell our listeners on taking these two wideouts in the late first?
I don't know. That feels like arguing about the difference between, beige and taupe. You know, like, they're all good. They're all fine. I don't worry so much if someone says, pounds the table and says, oh, Mike Evans should go number 4 among receivers. How dare you put Jordy Nelson? So I don't even know how to make that argument. It isn't a comparison. I don't feel comfortable. They're all good. Like, I'll say of the 4, the one who scares me most is AJ Green, which is why he comes 4th. So Dez deserves to be thought of a little bit below Mike Evans. I think that's right. I think, like, I have them 4-5 and 5-6. Is that right? I'm not even looking at my rank. Or maybe, I don't know, 4-5 and 6-7.
Yeah, that's correct.
4-5 and 6-7. Yeah, I mean,
Dez has by far the hardest schedule for a wide receiver. He goes up against all kinds of great matchup cornerbacks. Is that not your kind of thing? Or do you just think, like, it's going to change during the year?
Do you realize that it's wrong every year? Do you realize that, like, who quote unquote has the hardest schedule, and then we look back and we say, oops, we were completely wrong? Like,
it is, but I mean, I think that's his anchor. Like, if it's his anchor at 1, then yeah, maybe he does drop to number 11, but maybe it is number 1. And whereas I feel like, certain guys, like the Saints, have a really easy schedule. It's kind of the opposite. Like, it's probably not going to end up in the top 10.
So, I mean, I can't tell you to stop believing what you believe, because that's life. But it's not. There's plentiful evidence. I used to write about it at ESPN. Like, there's plentiful evidence that says we're terrible at guessing with strength of schedule. Terrible. We're wrong every year. No matter what we base it on, whether we base it on yards allowed last year, one loss last year, there's no statistical metric that's good at predicting strength of schedule. schedule. It's terrible. Cause like we'll miss on the divisions. We'll say, well, of course the AFC South is the crappiest division in the world, right? And then last year, suddenly Tennessee's much better than we thought, and Houston's still okay, and the Colts are in playoff contention, and it was nowhere near the worst division last year. And now all of our strength of schedule is completely thrown off. That's one where I'm not with you anyway.
There is one thing we do know though. It's that the Los Angeles Rams are going to be terrible again.
Right. Well, so the teams that appear not to be trying to win right away, right? There are more of them this year than I can remember. So the Rams would be that. The 49ers would be that. My God, the Jets would be that. I think the Bears would be that. And then maybe if they're smart, the Browns are that, although they bought some free agents. And so there's a chance they're a little bit.
Yeah, they could be all right.
They shouldn't be, though. They're stupid if they do. They still need the quarterback. And if you're going to buy the cheese that there's three really good quarterbacks in this draft, you should want one of those first three picks.
Yep.
Because they decided 2 years in a row not to take a quarterback.
I think it was smart. I think they did the right thing.
Maybe, but they still need one, right? They don't have it. DeShone Kizer's
not it. Josh Rosen is 10 times better than any quarterback that was in this draft. I'm convinced. And he might not even be the best. Like you said, there's three really good ones.
Right. And so that said, I feel like we say that every year and then we look back and we go, oh, wait, we found all the flaws. He's not good. But let's take what you're saying. I kind of tend to agree. This 2018 class will be much better for rookie quarterbacks. Then the Browns should not win more than three games. That would be stupid. You've passed on Carson Wentz and you've passed on whoever, Trubisky or Mahomes or whoever, like in order to what? Get DeShone Kizer? Like at some point you need a quarterback. So that's all by way of saying, I agree with you that there are some teams out there that will be trying to lose. I agree.
Now, we were going to have to disagree about something on this show, and today it's Terrell Pryor. And I are both completely anti-Terrell Pryor. You've got him up ahead of my boy, Sammy Watkins. How dare you?
Well, you know how. You go ahead. You first start out with the anti-Sammy Watkins argument. Go ahead. Paint by numbers.
Oh, no, I love Sammy Watkins.
I know, but what's the argument? If you're going to make an argument against...
The argument here is that in the last 14 games Sammy Watkins played with Tyrod Taylor, he was better than Antonio Brown in his last 14 games.
No, but what's the argument against...
Oh, I have no argument against him. The argument against for Sammy Watkins is that he gets injured every year. Tyrod Taylor doesn't pass that much. They're a running team, which I think is going to change this year because of the new offensive coordinator. But there's a lot to not like about Sammy Watkins. But if he stays healthy, he could be a top three wide receiver.
Sure, he has lots of upside, but he also could be outside the top 100.
Give me the upside, baby. I'll take the upside.
Okay, but I mean, how many players could I name among wide receivers right now who have higher upside than Sammy Watkins? The very, very best Sammy Watkins can be after his 28-catch, 430-yard receiving season last year. Like, I mean, 15? 20? In that offense, Sammy Watkins is not gonna break Jerry Rice's record or break Randy Moss's touchdown record. It's never, ever, ever going to happen, right? There's no chance. There are some players who you could argue could, but he's not one of them. He's very, very talented. I love him, talent-wise. But really, honestly, the argument against and the reason to moderate on Sammy Watkins is the first thing you said. It's just, we still don't know if he's healthy. We still don't know. How can you proclaim, I'm 100% sure he's healthy? Like, they're still talking about the foot hurting. So, agreed that he is more talented. If I was going to just line up talent-wise, he's more talented than 17. But I don't think he has the tippity-top upside, despite the talent, because of the quarterback and the situation. Plus, there's dramatic, scary, awful, terrible, we've seen it 2 years in a row, downside that I think you have to factor in. You want to talk about Pryor, though.
Yeah, let's talk about Pryor, okay?
Okay.
Because he was the only guy on the Cleveland Browns last year. They had to throw him the ball. And yeah, he's super talented, but now he goes to the Redskins. And I love Kirk Cousins, but he spreads the ball around. He never gives anybody a bunch of targets. And they've got all these other assets there, too. So I'm just not super convinced, but there's my kid. He really wants to be on the podcast, apparently.
Big Terrell Pryor fan. He's very upset at you. Big Terrell Pryor fan. Big Buckeye fan. So, like, there's risk with Terrell Pryor, too. I think Pryor and Watkins kind of being in the same neighborhood makes some sense for if people want to, when they're thinking about what they're going to look at once training camps start. Because the level of risk with Pryor isn't about injury. It's about, okay, what happens when you get taken off of a hairy high school offense? What happens when you get taken out of a basically non-professional situation and be put in DC where, say what you want, at least they're probably a roughly 500 team and it's a relatively professional operation, professional offense. It's an unknown, and just like Watkins's health is an unknown, but I can't argue. I mean, who's faster between Sammy Watkins and Terrell Pryor? Hint, it's Terrell Pryor. Who's taller? Hint, it's Terrell Pryor. Who could be a better red zone weapon theoretically? It's Terrell Pryor. Like, you can't make the argument that Sammy Watkins has more upside than Terrell Pryor. I think they both have scary downside, but I think they both have crazy upside. And actually, I think Watkins's downside is clearly scarier than Pryor's because his foot just could shatter at any moment. You're going to tell me that I get within Pryor, I get like the 6'4", 220 player who runs like Josh Gordon and can finally be a red zone weapon that Washington can use.
Who just started playing wide receiver, so he's still learning and getting better, even though he's pretty old. And Kirk Cousins throws the ball not quite twice as much as Tyrod Taylor. But, I mean, you're selling me a little bit on Pryor. I still love Sammy Watkins, but, yeah, you're making more sense on Pryor.
Well, so, like, what I'll say about Watkins is, as athletes, Pryor's a better athlete. As football players, as polished route runners, as adjusters to the ball in the air on film, Watkins is better. At his best, he's a better football player. But, I mean, Josh Gordon was never a very good football player. But you saw, if you could get a string of games where he could just run past people, all of a sudden he's the reason that fantasy teams are winning championships.
And he was so good.
Yeah, and really Terrell Pryor is sort of a comparable kind of athlete. To see him run is almost to like watch Josh Gordon run. Their legs don't look like they're moving that fast, but they're by you because they're so tall that you're like, you know, Antonio Brown needs to take 10 steps for every one Terrell Pryor step.
Yeah. You know, every year there's a player or 10 who slips through the cracks of a podcast and you don't really get to talk about them that much. So far, Dalvin Cook's been one of those guys because no one really has anything interesting to say about him. But you've gotten number 16 among running backs, which is the highest I've seen. Do you think he's due for a boatload of touches, or he's just that talented?
I'm about to be very interesting. So let's see, Dalvin Cook. I mean, so what I've done with the four rookie running backs is basically, I mean, I get to number 8 on my running back list, and I'm already vomiting. It's horrible. I don't want any of them. There's nobody who I wanted number 9. It might be Jay Ajayi for me or something like that. I don't want him number 9. There's Jordan Howard as 10. I really don't like Jordan Howard as a special, amazing, elite talent. I just think he's another guy. He's Jeremy Hill. He's another big guy. So I feel sick, and I got to a point, I can't even remember, like Marshawn Lynch, I might have 12, and that's insane, right? Marshawn Lynch 12 is insane. He didn't play football last year. So I was running out of veterans, basically. And once I hit Spencer Ware, I said, I'm done. I'm going to put all the rookies next. Like, it's not necessarily the order that I predict that they'll finish, but it's the order I would say, okay, at this point, I don't want any of the veterans. I'll just take the chance that one of these kids is awesome.
Yeah.
And so of those four, the fourth for me is Cook. I'm not going to be the person who comes on your podcast and predicts usage and says what the timeshare is going to be, because we don't know. Nobody knows.
Of course.
They don't know. They're going to go into the season with a plan, and that plan will explode week one, and they'll see who looks good, and we don't know. So I'm going to say Dalvin Cook has the biggest question marks about Dalvin Cook, or why did you test so poorly when they're in the underwear Olympics? Why are you not as quick in your skivvies as you looked on film at Florida State? Why do we even have to have this conversation? He was going to be the first running back taken, maybe, over Leonard Fournette. He was definitely going to be a top half of the first round player, and people got scared off of the athletic profile and maybe some of the off-field stuff. I just watch that Florida State film and see him when he gets a crease, when he gets just a sliver, the way he can go from 0 to 60, unlike almost anyone I can remember. And it's college, but it's still, you're still going fast. I just can't believe it doesn't translate. And I have to believe just some weird test flunking, like maybe he choked or something. It was too good. It was too good on film in college and major college, Florida State, that I say I'm willing to take the chance knowing that, it would also be smart if I could get Latavius Murray just to make sure I have the bases covered. And I also recognize that at that level, the number 16 running back in a standard league absolutely can bust. We didn't used to think about running backs that way, but they all can. I mean, coming after Cook, Spencer Ware, I don't even remember. Like in that neighborhood for me is like Eddie Lacy,
Carlos Hyde. We know they're not going to do that. I like what you said about the unknown there, because like we know Carlos Hyde isn't going to be a superstar. Tags might fight me over that, but we know Eddie Lacy's not going to be a superstar. Isaiah Crowell, we're going to talk about him later, but I don't think he's going to be a superstar. I'm not impressed with him at all. Actually, let's talk about him right now, okay? Everybody has him so much higher. He's going in like the third round. What gives with all of this hype? And please tell our listeners why you're low on him.
I did, after they've signed the free agents, you know, they get the center and the tackle, or the center and the guard, right? Zeitler is the guard, and they still have Joe Thomas. So you say, all right, well, that side of the offensive line actually has a potential to be really good. There's a danger, first of all, in just assuming that because you threw some money at your offensive line, it automatically gets better. Last year, with the Falcons and the Raiders, it definitely happened. With the Vikings, I guess it didn't. Like, they spent a lot, they all got hurt, but they spent a lot of money. It didn't. We're like, it isn't automatic that just because you buy some guys, your offensive line automatically is awesome. But I would tend to think, it's why I raised Crowell from where I originally had him. I would tend to think, yeah, it probably, if I'm, you know, I have to, I'm an analyst, I have to make a guess. I guess that it's better, even if it, I don't think it's going to be like all world offensive line to begin. So it's a better situation. But it's not a good situation. I just said it. The Browns should be striving to win three games again. It's still a ridiculous quarterback situation. It's a worse wide receiver. I mean, unless Corey Coleman's going to decide he's great, it's a worse receiver situation. Kenny Britt blows. Like, that's probably still a bad offense and probably still a bad team. And so to imagine that suddenly it's some touchdown-rich environment, no, I completely disagree with that. And then we come to Crowell.
Or that he's getting a ton of carries because they're playing from behind.
Again, that tends to be sort of that's a crutch argument. They were behind all last year too. Like, you know, he had whatever, almost 1,000 yards rushing and 7 touchdowns last year. For me, I just look at the player. I watch him play, and he's a grinder who catches the ball okay, but not great, to be honest. I'll tell you my film grades on him from having rewatched a few games of his. My speed grade on Crowell is a C+. He's not fast. He had one really long breakaway run, I think against Tennessee. And it was one of those things where the safety takes a bad angle and they happen to meet a defense where there's no one else there and he's gone. And suddenly his yards per carry is going to look great for the whole rest of the year because some dumb safety took a bad angle, right? In terms of elusiveness, he's a C- for me. There's no wiggle there at all. He's not dancing around anyone, but he's a good power back. I have him A- for power. And as a receiver, he caught a bunch of balls, but they were mostly sort of the safety valve-y, very easy to catch, extension of the running game, and he had some drops. So I have him as a B- as a receiver. So, like, he's just not a special player. So getting super excited about a running back who's not special on a team that people are fooling themselves and I still think is a really crummy team, yeah, I think we're... There's a phenomenon out there now. Tell me what you think about this, Bobby. I know I'm going on. But there's a phenomenon out there now that everybody's a fantasy analyst. Everybody in the world apparently is a fantasy analyst. Where if I do the hard work of looking at a depth chart for 30 seconds and realizing there aren't a lot of other good players, that suddenly now, like, Pierre Garçon deserves to be a top 20 wide receiver, or Isaiah Crowell deserves to be a top 10 running back, because I look at a depth chart and decide it doesn't matter what the player is. Look at that size of that hole. Look at the size of that Isaiah Crowell shaped hole in that depth chart. When has that ever worked? To assume that we know how the injury situation and just the coach's preferences will work out over the course of a season is hubris. We're terrible at it. I would prefer to own good players on good teams. That would be my preference.
Jay Ajayi was number 3 going into the season last year, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. There's one other running back I want to hit on, and it's the guy you have right above Crowell.
Okay.
And your ranking on Ty Montgomery doesn't really stand out to me, but I know you're a big film buff, and I have to pick your brain on him. Third
sure.
best juke rate in the NFL last season. Tons of yard after contact. He's big. Now, I mean, he's not really what you would expect out of a wide receiver turn running back because he's so big. Are we talking about a Theo Riddick here with more touches, or does he have some real fantasy upside?
I did a show on, I can't remember, a couple days ago, Tuesday, and I did 5 film room heroes. It was basically like, oh, okay, I've watched most of the film I'm going to watch this summer. Here are 5 players who I liked more than I expected to, and Montgomery was one of them. I had done pretty extensive film review on him at the end of last year to try to kind of get a sense of what he was, and had come away kind of with the impression that, he is big, but he doesn't really run like it. He's super upright as a runner. He takes a crap ton of hits, and he falls down the moment someone gets a good shot on him. I was left with the impression that it kind of looks like a wide receiver playing running back. This time around, I didn't fall in love, but I think I maybe expanded my mind a little bit and decided, yeah, you know, he does go down on first contact. That probably doesn't change. He isn't a super balanced running back. And, like, let's not sell him as some you know, 240-pound moose. He's like 6 feet, 215. He's big enough, and there have been plenty of running backs at that size who have been three-down backs. But to watch him run, I don't imagine he would last as a three-down back because he takes some shots because he's not really all that evasive. You know, he's not, he does take a lot of hits. But I sort of have a newfound of appreciation. Like, boy, he is the space-age running back. He is kind of where the position is going. In that, fine, let's not line him up 25 times behind Aaron Rodgers and just hand him the ball. Let's do that 15 times. Let's do that 14 times. But then let's put him in the slot for another 20 snaps and throw it to him 6 or 7 times. And not just the Isaiah Crowell flare pass. Like, no, let's send him out into a route where he's more valuable. Like, he can get 20 yards down the field because we know he can. He's a receiver. So I kind of just came to the conclusion, like, the Packers don't have... I don't know what those two rookies are, but I don't assume that they're anything particularly special. They don't have anything that threatens Montgomery. I can imagine a situation where Aaron Rodgers goes, cool, this is a Swiss Army knife I can use, and he can kind of be all things and play 50 snaps a game, and, you know, as opposed to whatever, he played 25 last year. Like, I think he's going to be on the field a lot, and maybe his rushing total isn't awesome, but his rushing plus receiving winds up being 1,200 yards. I don't think he's going to be very good in short yardage. You're probably getting Aaron Rutkowski touchdowns. But yeah, I think as an RB2, I like him more than I expected.
Now, Chris, I want to end this segment by asking you a tight end question. This ranking seems to be your boldest of the season. Maybe it'll change, but Martellus Bennett at number 5. I can see it, but I'm not that brave. I take it you're planning on getting him in every single league this year. And why do you like him so much?
I still don't get him, though. I've done a couple of mocks. I'm in the middle of the fishbowl right now, and I didn't get him. Like, I usually wait on tight end, so I'm almost never going to have the top five. And I'll also say, like, people who listen to my show know this, but and you know this, but, like, people who listen to this show might not. Like, I don't pay any attention to ADP until, like, mid-August. I want to have my opinion be my opinion. So I always come on these shows, and people go, why are you so revoltingly high on Martellus Bennett? I'm like, oh, I am? Oh, cool. I didn't know the market hated Martellus Bennett. So this is news.
Yeah, I could tell that was your reaction.
Yeah, this is news to me. Martellus Bennett, let's see. I don't know. Aaron Rodgers is tight end, and he's an excellent player. Like, that's enough for me to say, yeah, he is a very obvious, clear fantasy starter. I'm just writing my tight end profiles right now in a world where basically – I think it's probably about 7 deep that I feel like if I was an owner who tended to want a tight end early, there's 7 I would feel good about, and then I start being not so happy. How is Martellus Bennett not part of that? Like, I'm not blaming last year's Jared Cook on Aaron Rodgers. I'm blaming it on Jared Cook not being healthy and being Jared Cook. Martellus Bennett himself played with a high ankle sprain last year and still had, what, 55 catches and 700 yards and 7 touchdowns. I think it'll
as a backup tight end. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And now he goes to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, right. We have to remember Martellus Bennett was a top 3 fantasy tight end just a couple years ago. He's the same guy. Yeah. And now he gets a better quarterback. He did that with Jay Cutler.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I think it's worth arguing. I did a little research project for the Almanac where I said, all right, everybody says, yeah, I want all of Aaron Rodgers' weapons. Does he ever have tight ends who are good for fantasy? And the answer is not. He really hasn't. I mean, Jared Cook was 36th last year, I think. Richard Rodgers, who nobody owned, but he was a touchdown machine in 2015. He was the best of the last 5 years. He was 9th. But then, like, Andrew Corliss and JerMichael Finley, they were garbage for fantasy. It's been a while since we've drafted a Green Bay Packer tight end and felt awesome about it. I think,
but Bennett's the best tight end he's ever played with.
Yeah, I guess probably that's right. Like, he's not a Hall of Famer, but he's a Hall of Very Gooder. He's a great leaper. He's a sort of a natural red zone. Aaron Rodgers is going to lead the league again on red zone, end zone targets, balls thrown into the end zone. He leads almost every year. He definitely led last year. You're not getting a ton of amazing downfield moves. What Bennett's going to do downfield is run the seam, and if the coverage dictates, he'll get the ball. Great. But he runs really good routes. He's a beast. I mean, he's a beast. He's got great hands. This is news to me. I don't even see the reason why he wouldn't be a top 5 tight end.
That's great. I love that answer, Christopher. It was a lot of fun. As always, really appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, Bobby.
It's our pleasure. Take care. So before we go on over to the segment with Mike Tagliere, where we're going to be doing a Dynasty mock draft, I want to tell you about the other sponsor for today's show. It's a new sponsor, so make sure to go check them out. Tell them we sent you. rtsports.com/pros so that they know that we sent you. It's a league commissioner service, full season fantasy football leagues with top payouts, best ball leagues, and actively managed leagues. There's so many contest formats, something for everyone. Live online drafts, auction drafts, real-time scoring. They've been doing fantasy football leagues since 1995. It's reliable and well-trusted. So go to rtsports.com/pros and set up your custom private league for free right now. All right, guys and gals, we've got Mike Teglier in with us now after missing the first segment. He was telling me before the show he actually went to go get a voice change. Is that right, Tegs?
Yeah, that's where I was at, and it didn't work. I was supposed to sound like a chipmunk coming back, and I'm really disappointed, man, because it was like something that came up spur of the moment. I had to miss the first half of the show. I really wanted to talk to Chris. He's a smart guy, and he's somebody that, you know, maybe we'd have differing opinions. I was really looking forward to it, but I'm sure we're going to talk to Chris again.
You know, it would have been great for the ratings if you actually would have been able to get that chipmunk voice, but I don't know if I would have been able to stick around. That would be just too much.
It would have been like a brand. You know, everybody's got their brand in this and that. I don't have my hashtag brand or anything, but maybe it would have been hashtag brand chipmunk voice or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Tex, we're going to be doing a mock draft today, and this is a different type of mock draft. We actually added Dynasty mock drafts to our draft simulation software. You can find it, draftwizard.fantasypros.com. And so what we're going to do today, you can just type in that URL and follow along with us. It's going to grade us at the end. Just click under league type Dynasty. We're going to go with a standard league, snake draft, 12 teams, randomize your draft order, and then roster positions, one quarterback, two running backs, three wide receivers, a tight end, a flex, and four bench players. So we're only going to be drafting 12 players today. And I'm making a new rule, okay? No backup quarterbacks, no backup tight ends. Because no one's listening and cares who our backup quarterback is. There's no sense right in drafting a backup quarterback in most leagues. It's just it just helps pad our score. So let's not do that today. What do you say, Tex?
I love it. So, Bobby, I'm excited for this. When you told me, you're like, hey, how about we do a Dynasty mock draft show? And I was like, yes, yes. Like, I wish we would have done this sooner, because Dynasty is something that's a little bit different than the redraft scene where, you know, it's more of your opinion on a player. Yes, his situation does matter more than some people let on, but it does matter, you know, because I released an article earlier today, Bobby, and it was about tight ends to avoid. And one of those tight ends to avoid was OJ Howard, and one of the Bucks beat writers actually got at me and said, you know, of course, yeah, it's okay, it's one of the worst situations possible. I'm like, no, for fantasy football is completely different than on a team standpoint, because OJ Howard, obviously, while I don't like him in redraft, in Dynasty it's a completely different monster, because I'm betting on the player in the system down the road.
Man, people get after you a lot. Maybe that's why you were trying to do the chipmunk voice. It would be hard to go after a chipmunk voice guy.
It would, right? I mean, you'd want to argue with me, and it would just come out totally totally harmless, like Alvin and the Chipmunks.
People don't really get after me on Twitter that much about fantasy football yet. They do big time on baseball. I don't know why, like rabid fans or whatever. But when you go on Reddit, man, people are just vicious. And it's like they don't even read the articles either. So if you're a Reddit guy, like, please just read the articles before you just start bashing it and like talking about something that was already covered in the article. Oh, that's a pet peeve of mine.
Yeah, no, for sure. Like 100%. And honestly, like, Twitter's always been good to me. But recently, I don't know what it is, but this offseason, I've got more trolls that have come my way and have kind of trying to, you know, be mean. And I always respond in a way that's nice. You know, some people block them, some people do that. I just think, you know, maybe this person's having a bad day. All I'm going to say,
yeah,
this is why I said this. I hope you have a better day, buddy. And that's basically where it ends. And a lot of people respond to that pretty well. So I try and take it in stride and understand. Everybody has bad days from time to time.
Well, I'll tell you what, Tags, everyone is going to be mocking you on Twitter after this draft, because I've lost two in a row to you, so I'm just going to flat out whoop you this time. And I randomized my draft order and got the number one pick, so it's looking good right now, man.
You know what's funny is I actually got the number one pick twice, and I was like, no, I'm going to randomize it again because I know he'll say I cheated. So I actually got the number four pick, which I'm okay with.
Oh, number four pick. We've already been talking about how that's like the best case scenario. So
in redraft, for sure. But I mean, with the number one pick, let's see if Bobby screws this one up.
I'm not screwing it up. I'm taking Odell Beckham, man. He's 24 years old. You don't go with a running back in Dynasty number one overall, because let's face it, David Johnson could get a knee injury and never be the same running back again. I guess Beckham could too, but the chances are a lot slimmer. You know, Beckham has done nothing but be one of the best wide receivers in the league from day one. He's the man. Is that who you'd take, Tags?
Oh, for sure. 100%. I've actually tried in a few of my dynasty leagues to go out and get Beckham. I didn't know what the cost would be, but people are essentially refusing to trade him. And it's a fair thing to do because, like, I mean, when you have a guy like that, like a guy like Antonio Brown or whatever, you ride him throughout his career. He's not a player that you're looking to trade because it's unlikely you're going to get a player in return that's going to deliver as long as someone like Odell Beckham. So I love the pick. And if he gets more consistent quarterback play, like let's say Davis Webb is a better quarterback than Eli Manning in terms of consistency, the sky's the limit for Odell Beckham.
Who are you taking at number four?
Number four, it's a tough choice. David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell are on the board, but as you know, in Dynasty, you want wide receivers because they last a little bit longer. But, you know, it's weird. I got this discussion the other day, and it kind of changed my mind about this because Amari Cooper is someone that I have as my number four wide receiver in Dynasty right now, right behind Odell Beckham, Antonio Brown, and Julio Jones. Antonio Brown, I was almost to the point where I was going to move him below Cooper, but then I realized Antonio Brown's 5'10", 5'11", depending on where you look. He's a receiver that doesn't take much abuse. He's a great route runner. I think he could be like a Jerry Rice-esque type player, and he could play into maybe 35 years old. So
agree.
Me, I'm going to take elite performance out of Antonio Brown here. Julio Jones is a year younger, but the injury concerns do play into that a little bit. And Amari Cooper, as much as I love him, I'm going to go Antonio Brown here.
Don't tell anyone I said this. I mean, I know there's like thousands of people listening, so I guess I shouldn't say don't tell anyone, but I've actually got Amari Cooper as my number four dynasty wide receiver too.
Yeah, buddy. I mean, it's fair, and I understand your points in redraft, why you wouldn't like him as much as I do. I just think that the light comes on here at some point, and I think that this could be the year. Well, it's back to me in the second round. So after I make my Antonio Brown pick, I obviously have a window here. Like, it's, you know, once you start realizing what your team is built around, you kind of want to play into that. So me, it's obviously going to be a win now team with Antonio Brown rather than taking someone like Amari Cooper. So do I want to forgo my future? Of course not. But in this pick here, I'm going to take Leonard Fournette. And the running backs who are on the board in this range are the Jordan Howards, the Christian McCaffrey, Joe Mixons. But I think Leonard Fournette, I mentioned it earlier today, someone in my Dynasty League offered me two first-round picks in 2018 for Leonard Fournette, and I turned that down. And I said no because I do believe that Leonard Fournette is this generation's Adrian Peterson. And so by picking him here, he's obviously going to walk in, he's going to contribute right away to my win now team, but he's also going to give me time in the future because, you know, he's 22 years old. And before we even go on to the next pick, Bobby, I think that's one of the neatest. I actually told them I wanted this feature in the Draft Wizard, and our developers are the bomb. They put it in here. So every single player in the Draft Wizard, you actually see their age pop up right as, you know, it's letting you know who the experts would suggest you draft in that.
Yeah.
So Leonard Fournette, 22 years old, obviously going to be playing for a long time. He's a part of a Jaguars team that's building from their defense is going to be top five in the NFL this year. I truly believe that. The quarterback position is going to be solidified, not this year, obviously, but I think the next year they're going to end up maybe trying to snag Kirk Cousins. Who knows? But can you imagine that defense with Kirk Cousins at quarterback, Allen Robinson outside, Marquise Lee, Allen Hurns, and Leonard Fournette? Like, come on. That's cheap.
Yeah, man. That's exciting. That's really exciting. Yeah, I've said it before, man. Our developers are incredible. Like, I'm the least talented person on this team, except maybe Andrew. Like, actually, definitely Andrew. But yeah, our developers are amazing. They build these great tools. And it's so fun. We can do drafts like this during our podcast. Guys, I'm taking Rob Gronkowski here. I mean, I know he's 28 years old, and that's a little bit old, but I mean, in tight end years, that's right in the middle of his prime. I know he's got injury risks, but I love Gronk. I'm pulling the trigger here. And then I'm going to do something really odd here, and this is something that I will do in Dynasty redrafts. I know that the experts aren't on board with me, and this is probably going to kill my draft grade, but I reach for quarterback here with Andrew Luck or Aaron Rodgers. Again, I know Aaron Rodgers is 33 years old, but you can't tell me he's not going to be a superstar for the next 4 or 5 years. I'm taking that and putting it in my back pocket. There's going to be running backs that drop. I might get DeMarco Murray later in the draft because it's a dynasty league. And, you know, running backs are just so volatile. I'm taking the best players this year, and I'll figure it out next season as it comes. But right now, I want my quarterback, and I know he's going to be a star for 4 or 5 years.
For sure. Actually, you know what's funny about this, Bobby? So what I'm drafting off of is my article that I did. I'm sure you've seen it, my Dynasty trade value chart. And when looking at the players around the board this range, we're looking at Rodgers, who I have valued at $42. And then we go down to Mixon, who is 39, Doug Baldwin, the top wide receiver, at 40, and then Travis Kelce is 40. So it tells me that my chart is actually really, really good in this area, and it tells me that I'm right in line. And I'm with you. The stability of Aaron Rodgers cannot be overlooked. You know, there was an interview yesterday that popped up and said where he said he's on the back nine of his career. Of course he is. He's 33 years old. But as we've seen, Tom Brady, you know, Peyton Manning, even to a certain extent, these guys playing into their late 30s and even, you know, early 40s with Tom Brady, where I will take another elite 6 or 7 years out of Aaron Rodgers rather than, you know, maybe like if I didn't pick him here, I'd probably go Travis Kelce. But I'm just going to go with the lock here. I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers and just be done with it.
So does Kelce drop to you in the next round? That's the big question.
No, he did not. My number 3 and 4 tight ends are still there. Eifert and Jordan Reed. But I'm not necessarily... Eifert, I worry about injuries. Jordan Reed, he's always been an injury guy. So I think that's why those guys end up falling down the board. So, but after I make that pick, so my team right now is Aaron Rodgers, Leonard Fournette, and Antonio Brown. I mean, that's a solid, solid start
here. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about it. Now, the wide receivers are flying off the board to where it looks like my top wide receiver is Martavis Bryant. And the pick predictor is basically saying that he should be available because people, you know, are concerned about the suspension. So I'm going to go ahead and grab my second running back here in the 20-year-old Joe Mixon out of Cincinnati. So, I mean, I debated him, you know, back when I picked Aaron Rodgers. I was debating him there. And he's just someone that he does it all. You know, we talk about these running backs that come in, P. Ryan, Rob Kelly, and, you know, trying to discuss, okay, what running back does this? What running back does... Teams want a running back like a Matt Forte, like a Le'Veon Bell, like a David Johnson. Joe Mixon has that skill set. He can play on all three downs. He can pass protect, and they're going to need that with the offensive line that they have there in Cincinnati right now. So Mixon, I think he's game script proof, and by drafting him where they did to trade up to get him when other teams wouldn't even draft him, it says a lot about what the Bengals think. And I've said it throughout this offseason, Bobby. What is the only way to get the media to stop talking about the Joe Mixon incident? You put him on the field, you let his play do the talking, and that's what's going to happen, and he's going to play well because he is that good of a player.
Tags, your team is perfect right now. You could simulate the rest of the draft and almost beat me.
Well, I don't want to say I'm going to beat you, but Odell Beckham is pretty solid with the first pick. You do have Rodgers, so I mean, I think we're close. I think it's still too early to tell, but it's looking good so far.
So I was hoping DeMarco Murray or someone would fall to me. DeMarco Murray fell to me. So he's my first running back. I'm really happy with that. And then my other options here, I've got back-to-back picks on the turn. I could go Tyler Eifert. I'm actually going to wait on tight end. I'm sure I can get myself a Greg Olsen quite a bit later just for one or two seasons, and I'm fine with that. Mike Williams is the top wide receiver. Terrell Pryor, who Chris Harris was hyping up earlier and actually sold me on quite a bit. I was telling Tags before the show. Tevin Coleman's the top running back. Isaiah Crowell I could go get, but you guys know I don't trust him at all. So I'm actually going to go Mike Williams here, you know, top 10 draft pick. He's 22 years old. I don't know what he's going to do this year, but down the line in a dynasty league, I love it. He could really pay dividends.
He definitely can, you know, and it's one of those things where it's like I'm having difficulty with the whole San Diego passing attack in general, trying to figure out where things are going. But picking a player as high as they did, it was 7 overall or 8 overall where they selected him. I think it was 7. McCaffrey was 8. So number 7 overall, they're going to try and find every reason to get him on the field. It really stinks that he has missed basically the OTAs and he's going to be out for a little bit. That's going to take some time to establish. So, but we're talking about dynasty, like you said, and you know, Keenan Allen's not going to be around forever. Tyrell Williams might go on to sign with another team. We don't know, but I have no issues with the pick. So I mentioned in the last round, the fourth round, that I was debating Martavis Bryant, but looking at it, you know, when I have Antonio Brown, it's like, man, I really don't want to just tie everything there because what if Ben Roethlisberger retires and, you know, their value isn't as high? You know, Martavis Bryant is supposed to be a free agent next year. So
Josh Dobbs, baby.
No, that's not the answer.
No.
I wanted them to take Kaiser, to be honest with you. I think Kaiser would have fit in really, really well. I think
he's a perfect fit.
Yeah, I think he's a replacement for Roethlisberger. But
maybe they'll trade for him because we were talking earlier. Maybe the Browns will get a top 3 pick. They'll take one of those great quarterbacks in the next class and they'll trade Kaiser for cheap.
Maybe. That actually wouldn't be a bad idea because I really did want to see him because he had time to develop and, you know, you don't want Cleveland to push that guy into action.
Yeah.
But one of the players that we're still talking about a little hype, it's you know, last year this time, I think he would have been going as a second or a third round pick in startup dynasties. We're in the fifth round now. Devontae Parker is still on the board. Comparing him to Martavis Bryant, comparing those two, it's like, okay, I like them both, and I just looked at my chart, and I have them both at $36, so obviously I like them both pretty much the same. So I'm going to go Parker here, considering I have Antonio Brown on my team. Devontae Parker, I just think that he's in the long-term plans for the Miami Dolphins alongside Kenny Stills, whereas Jarvis Landry is someone that it seems like they're ready to move on from.
He went in the fourth round in my draft. I probably would have taken him over Mike Williams there.
Yeah, definitely. I'd definitely take Devontae Parker over Mike Williams. Looking at my Mike Williams is 33 on mine. So, I'm not going to complain getting him in the fifth round. I know that we haven't exactly seen him break out or anything like that, but as my number two receiver behind Antonio Brown, I'm good with it.
So who are you taking here in the sixth?
All right, so the sixth comes back around, and this is where it gets dicey, right? Because I'm looking to fill other wide receiver spots, and the top players on the recommended picks are Josh Doctson, Randall Cobb, Sterling Shepard, Willie Snead, that area. But I've said it before, you know, I really do. I don't kid with people when I say I like John Ross. I really mean that. John Ross is someone that I've said it before. I think that he can be a better version of T.Y. Hilton. Does it mean that he's going to come in the league and just start dominating right away? Absolutely not. He's not, you know, in the situation that T.Y. Hilton is with Andrew Luck, where he's like the number one guy. A.J. Green is still there. John Ross, the offensive line doesn't allow him to get downfield as much as maybe we would like, but he's a player that I'm really, really excited for in the future. It's coming down to him, or do I go tight end here? And I think that John Ross is going to fall. So, you know what? I'm actually, while talking myself through this, I'm in win now mode. We've talked about it. Greg Olsen is still on the board, age 32. I'm going to go here, and I'm going to take Greg Olsen, and I'm going to hope that John Ross falls to me next round to fill my third wide receiver spot.
You know, I'm taking Greg Olsen here, too. It's really not even close for me. I'm taking him ahead of Hunter Henry, who's still available in a dynasty league.
Wow.
But I mean, you know, I've got DeMarco Murray, I've got Aaron Rodgers, Odell Beckham, Rob Gronkowski. This team can win the championship now, and sometimes you got to make that determination. So I'm going with Greg Olsen with my first pick. Now, for my other options here, I've got Ty Montgomery, Samaje Perine, who I want to reach for, but you know, he might actually be there next time. And if he's not, there's other running backs in that range I like. So the best wide receivers on the board, Michael Crabtree, Emmanuel Sanders, Tyreek Hill, Willie Snead. I think Willie Snead will be there, otherwise I'd take him. But Tyreek Hill's still 23 years old. His ECR is number 59, and this is pick 73. So, like, I'm low on Tyreek Hill, but what am I going to do, pass him up here?
Yeah, that's the thing is I you know, people have been asking me to do a write-up on Tyreek Hill, and I think I'm going to end up doing a player profile on him. And because the thing is, I always thought, you know, once Jeremy Maclin was gone, I figured his ADP was going to shoot through the roof. But I looked at it the other day, and 25th wide receiver off the board in redraft, you know, obviously dynasty, he's down here, you're able to get him, and this is what, the beginning of the seventh round, that you're not taking too much risk there. I don't feel like it's too much risk where it's just like, okay, I'll take the upside, but you know the pick comes with risk, but at this point in the draft, it's probably worth it.
I need to pause you for a second before you make your pick, because I made a big mistake. I have Rob Gronkowski, and I just took Greg Olsen. So fortunately for me, one of the features on our Draft Wizard, thanks to the developers, revert pick. I'm going to click that button twice, and then I'm going to make my pick again. For those of you listening at home, Clinton, go ahead and leave this one in the show, because I want people to know that you can do that. So I'm going to go ahead and take Tyreek Hill as I was, and then I'm going to go grab Ty Montgomery. So I am completely forfeiting week eight. I've got six players on the bye for week eight, but that's fine. I'd prefer to do it that way if you can. I'm never going to go into a draft trying to figure out a way to do that, but you know, if it starts to go that way, yeah, it's a nice way to go.
Yeah, you know what the funny part is about that, and I think a lot of people wonder about that. Because I remember when I first started playing fantasy, I remember I paid attention to bye weeks, and it meant this and that. Now, I'm not kidding that the only time that I actually pay attention to bye weeks at all is in MFL 10s, because MFL 10 rosters are best ball, and if you have all of, like, four of your five running backs on a bye in week 11, that's a problem, because there's only one running back who can essentially start for you.
And it's not one win or one loss, it's cumulative for all your points. If you have one bad week, it kills you.
Exactly, and on top of that, you know, during the season, if you have all your players on one bye week, that's phenomenal. But most of the time, by the time it gets to week eight, week nine, your roster looks different anyways if you're an active owner. So in Dynasty, you definitely don't want to pay attention to the bye weeks, because then you're going to miss out on players just because of bye weeks. You don't want to do that.
Yeah. All right. So who are you taking in your back-to-back picks now that I fixed my draft?
All right. So, man, it's such a big gap from this pick until my next one. So I feel like I need to get my third wide receiver here, and I can't wait on John Ross anymore. So I'm just going to take Ross here and not risk the chance that he doesn't get back to me. So John Ross, he's not going to start me the first year. Okay, it's showing on my roster that John Ross is my starting wide receiver, but in Dynasty, just because you draft a player before other players doesn't mean you can't fill it. Like, for instance,
like I did with Williams.
Yeah, for instance, like Jeremy Maclin is still on the board right now, and I definitely can draft him and it'll show on my bench. But at the same time, I know that Jeremy Maclin would end up starting over John Ross this season for me. Here in the eighth round, it looks like, man, I wish I would have waited at quarterback. It looks like there's still some good ones.
Drew Brees is still sitting there for me.
He is still there for me. Tom Brady's there, but I'm of the mindset that this is Tom Brady's final season. Like, I really truly believe that Tom Brady, they're all in. I think that's why Garoppolo wasn't shipped anywhere. I think they're going to try and keep him. And I think Garoppolo wants to stay there. I mean, who wants to leave the Patriots? Like, you know what I mean? So, man, this is tough. So I'm trying to fill my flex spot right now, but also keep the mindset open that this could be a player for the future. And Kareem Hunt is still on the board, 21 years old. And if for some reason he overtakes Spencer Ware this year, man, 21 years old, having this upside in an Andy Reid offense for a long time with Patrick Mahomes starting next season, that's going to happen. So this offense is going to get much more dynamic, and we've always known, no matter who the quarterback is for Andy Reid, his running backs always do damage. So Kareem Hunt in the end of the eighth round at that, I'll take him to fill my flex.
I'm surprised you're not reaching for John Brown there. He has bye week 8, so I might be grabbing him next round.
I actually have debated John Brown, and I was waiting to get to that point, yeah.
All right, so it is back to me, and I like Mike Gillisley there. Theo Riddick is the number one dynasty running back on the board, but, you know, I'm in win-now mode. Marshawn Lynch is still there, too. I could just go back-to-back and get Gillisley and Lynch, and then my running backs would be Murray, Montgomery, Gillisley, Lynch. That's just naughty. That is just so good. But I also need another wide receiver, and Michael Crabtree's the best, and then Kelvin Benjamin. Then there's a huge fall off. So I'm taking Michael Crabtree definitely, and then I need to decide between the other two. So let's see here. I'm going to go with Gillisley. No, I'm not. I'm going to go with Marshawn Lynch, because here's the thing is, like, Gillisley is quite a bit younger than Marshawn Lynch, but, like, who knows if Gillisley even starts another year after this? Who knows if he falls apart? I know what Lynch is going to be, and having him as my flex, that's just cheating, man.
In a win-now team, I understand the pick. So Marshawn Lynch is the definition of a one year and done. Like, he's not, I don't think he's playing beyond this year. So you're paying to basically, you're saying with that, when you draft Marshawn Lynch like that, you're almost saying, I am playing to win right now. Whereas if you draft someone like, you know, like I said, Jeremy Maclin, you're probably going to get 3 or 4 more years. It still gives you an opportunity to win now. I'm not saying I don't like the pick, because Lynch, you know, we had Jeff on the show, and you know, he was talking about Lynch and the fact that, you know, don't buy the fact that he's done. I think that there's concern for sure, but we're talking about, you know, the end of the eighth round, beginning of the ninth, where this is where championship teams are, they start to be built. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. So who are you going with in 9-10 here?
All right. So you mentioned John Brown, but he's still down the list. And this is where it comes down to. I tell people this all the time. It's just because you like a player doesn't mean you need to reach. And that's why this tool on here, the pick predictor, is like one of my favorite. I'm able to look there. So it's telling me right now. So Willie Snead is there. I know he's someone who can contribute right now.
Wow. That would be a great pick.
Yeah. Or John Brown. So John Brown, there's a 49% chance that he's there next round. Willie Snead won't last, basically, they're telling me. So I'm going to take my chances here. I'm going to go with Willie Snead. And then if John Brown comes to me on the way back, I am so psyched about that. And
that's a dynasty if you get them, man.
It is a dynasty. And that's the thing. So my running backs, my core, Leonard Fournette, Joe Mixon, and Kareem Hunt, a bunch of young guys. And then my wide receivers are all guys that can help me win now. Running backs, you don't have to wait on. They're not guys that need time to develop. They're just going to walk in. They're going to start playing. John Brown did fall. So John Brown, welcome to the squad.
Man, this is just not right. It's just not right. And look, I was thinking Kevin White's going to drop to me, maybe Zay Jones, Jamal Williams. No, none of them drop. So I'm going to just go ahead and keep going with the win now. My team might be ugly next year, but you know what? I'll be wearing my championship belt all year, so who cares? I'm taking Eric Decker and Jeremy Maclin back-to-back.
Yeah, I mean, they're solid picks, and like you said, you're in it to win it now. It's funny because, you know, you took Lynch back then. Lynch is still there available for me. Mike Gillisley's there. Mike Gillisley is there too, and Mike Gillisley's going to be my pick just because I think that there's definitely a chance that they produce similarly this year. I believe that, and the fact that Mike Gillisley is 26 years old and Lynch is 31, that obviously plays into it as well. So I'm going to go with Mike Gillisley here.
I'm jealous, man. Your team is awesome. I love my team. I would be thrilled if this was a dynasty team of mine, but yours is top notch. I'm looking forward to reviewing them. So who's your round 12 pick?
Yeah, definitely. I do want to give a real quick thing, like let everybody know. So we're drafting against Dynasty ADP that we get from Dynasty League Football. So we have a partnership with them now where they supply us with that information. And that's why I think it's great what we're doing here with the Dynasty Mock. So if you have a Dynasty draft coming up, definitely, definitely use it for preparation.
Yeah, and you can set it so you can just do rookie drafts too. It's really cool.
Yes, it's fantastic. I love the tools that we have here, not including myself. Going in, we talked about the fact that we're not going to draft tight ends or backup quarterbacks. We only have one more bench spot that we're drafting for here in the 12th round. So I snagged Mike Gillisley last round. I'm going to go with another wide receiver here, and I am going to take Jeremy Maclin because I do believe Jeremy Maclin has a few years to give, and I think people are undervaluing him. So Jeremy Maclin is now with the Baltimore Ravens. Joe Flacco has a bigger arm than I think any quarterback that he's ever played with. They've talked about the fact that they're going to use him in that Steve Smith role, which isn't exclusive to just short routes. Jeremy Maclin can go over the top just as Mike Wallace can, just as Breshad Perriman can. So Jeremy Maclin is someone who's going to contribute this year for me, and I also believe he's going to contribute for years to come.
Okay, so I've got the very last pick in the draft. So there's like an 80% chance this guy is going to be cut from my team. So I'm going all upside here. Dorial Green Beckham.
Oh, God.
I'm just kidding. No, I'm not drafting Dorial Green Beckham.
I was going to say, if you guys are listening to this show at home, seriously, send Bobby a tweet right now telling him how bad that pick is.
I'm drafting James Conner. He's quite a bit down on the list. But, I mean, think about it this way. Let's say it's the preseason and Le'Veon Bell gets hurt. You know how high James Conner's ADP rises? Right now, we're looking at, what is it, 210, something around there, 180, something like that. His ADP, I guarantee you, rises into the top 40 if Le'Veon Bell gets hurt for the year.
Oh, of course. Like, if Bell goes down, James Conner immediately vaults into the RB1 discussion every single week.
Yeah, so here's the thing. I'm drafting James Conner. If Le'Veon Bell doesn't get hurt in the first 2-3 weeks, well, I just cut James Conner and pick up whoever it is I need, but I'm taking the big lottery ticket gamble here, and if it works out, it's just going to be beautiful.
Yeah, well, you're going to be sad when you hear the score of my team because it is phenomenal.
Okay, I got an 87 B+. I don't know if I've ever not gotten A before, except for that one draft where, what was it? What kind of draft was that? A 2QB draft where I waited and my quarterbacks were like Ryan Tannehill and Cody Kessler. That was horrible. I shouldn't have even brought it up. It's so embarrassing.
Yeah, definitely. I remember that episode where you took Gronk, I think, and it put you behind the 8-ball and then 2-quarterback league. So my score was a 96 out of 100. My starting roster is fantastic. I mean, I'll give you my starting roster and then I'll give you my bench in terms of what I would play this year for Dynasty. So
okay.
Rodgers is my quarterback. My starting running backs are Fournette, Mixon. My wide receivers, Antonio Brown, Devontae Parker maybe, but then it would definitely be John Brown and or Jeremy Maclin going there. And then I also have John Ross. I have Greg Olson in my tight end spot. The flex can go to Kareem Hunt, Mike Gillisley, Willie Snead. So this is goodies galore. So I love my
people
team.
In your league are just going to quit because you dominated them so much. Way to be a bully.
I don't want to be called a bully. I'm a nice guy. That's why I wanted to get my chipmunk voice.
Yeah. Here's my roster, guys. And I don't even really want to say it after Tag said that, but I've also got Aaron Rodgers, DeMarco Murray, Marshawn Lynch is going to be starting for me over Ty Montgomery. My wide receivers, Odell Beckham. I've got Tyreek Hill, Jeremy Maclin, Eric Decker is my flex. On the bench, I've got Michael Crabtree, Ty Montgomery, James Conner. Oh, and my tight end is Rob Gronkowski. So,
by the way, my tight end is Rob Gronkowski. Like, that's not bad.
I'm sad, man.
It's not bad, but I feel like this has been graded on a dynasty mock, and I love that about this tool, is that it graded on a dynasty because your team is good for win now, right? But
my team would stomp yours this season. I think so.
I don't know if I would go that far.
Okay, stomp is the wrong term, but I'd beat you. So anytime I have a chance to beat you, I'm going to go ahead and use the term stomp.
No, but I think that's why the grade is fair. For a dynasty mock, you know, B-ish, whereas mine definitely was an A. Like, my team is ready to run the table for about 3-4 years.
Yeah. I got a question for you, Tags, before we end this thing. I saw Ryan McDowell ask this on Twitter the other day, and I was curious what your thoughts were. Okay, so Saquon Barkley, running back for Penn State. Mm-hmm. If he was available in this draft right now, would you take him over Fournette?
No, I wouldn't take him over four. It's close, though. I'm not going to lie. I don't get into college guys too much, but I do know who Barkley is. Like, if you don't know who he is, you should watch some tape. But I'm going to be interested to watch him this year. And I think it will depend on landing spot, too, because that's going to play a factor. But yeah, I think that if Barkley were to be thrown into a startup draft right now, I think you're looking at him in the middle of the second round. I'm sure some people would take him at the end of the first, but me, I would take him over. I'd probably take him over Gurley. I like Fournette over Gurley in Dynasty. I like Fournette over Melvin Gordon. I think Fournette is my number four running back in Dynasty, as a matter of fact. So, I mean,
what it came down to me is, you know, you don't know where he's going to land. Like, let's say he just goes and lands in a really crummy situation. Yeah,
like the Rams.
Of course I'm not going to take him over Fournette. Yeah. What if he goes and lands with the Rams? But say there's two alternative universes, okay? One of them, you've got Fournette on the Jaguars, and one of them, you've got Barkley on the Jaguars. I think I'd take Barkley.
Probably. He's a better three-down back in terms of his hands are better than Fournette's. Like, the reports that are the Jaguars are coming away somewhat impressed of what Fournette's been able to do with his hands, but I'm not going to fall for that. I know that he's not a third-down back. Like, he's not a guy that's going to catch, you know, 30, 40 balls a season. That's just not going to happen. I expect Adrian Peterson-esque numbers, and when I say that I think he's the Adrian Peterson of our generation, I mean that in the fact that Adrian Peterson was never a great receiver, but that's okay.
Yeah.
He's a running back, and, you know, he's going to dominate.
His hands are so bad that he fumbled, like, 80 times a year.
Well, Peterson,
but no one ever cares about that because he was so dominant.
Well, if Adrian Peterson had played for, like, Norv Turner, he would have been screwed.
He probably would have been benched and we never would have known.
It's so true. It's true because, I mean, we continually saw that. Norv Turner just does not play people that fumble.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, that's all we have for the show today. Tags, I've got to say I'm relieved you didn't go through with the chipmunk voice.
No, I'm kind of happy too. I have my man voice back. Wait, hold on a second. Wait, we didn't even address the whole Rounders thing. So a lot of people gave you crap on Twitter for that one, Bobby, and well-deserved. Did you watch Rounders?
No, I didn't end up watching Rounders last night. I actually ended up working, so.
Fail.
Yeah, so I have not seen the movie Rounders. I am a little bit younger than Tags, and I got a lot of garbage about it. Tags made some impression, and I thought maybe he was just having a stroke or something, so I was just like, okay, let's move on. And I ended up watching the clip, and it was spot on. Tags, that was phenomenal.
Thanks, man. It's a horrible accent in the movie, so my horrible accent worked out pretty well.
All right, guys. Well, if you don't already follow us on Twitter, it's at BobbyFantasyPro and at Mike Tagliare NFL. Don't forget to sign up for the Antonio Brown signed jersey giveaway sweepstakes from pristineauction.com. For Mike Tagliare, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve slowly in a proof of your love. I don't even know how the chemistry works when your rules are kicking in the dirt, kicking in the sand and stirring up trouble.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.